Happy Sunday. My name is Jim DeJunis from the North Carolina Reading Service. The name of our program is Reflections, and for the next 30 minutes, I'll be reading to you from the Holy Bible, both the New and Old Testament scriptures. We read a daily devotional called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young, and from time to time, we will read words from other well-known theologians and Christian writers. But as we often do, we start this program in prayer, and we welcome our audience, of course. We would not be here without you, and we ask for the grace of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, to be upon all of our listeners and all the people here at North Carolina Reading Service. We ask, Lord, that you bless the words that will be spoken today, that we may hear them and live them and share them, that we may give you glory in all things that we do and all things that we say. Heavenly Father, we know that your word is the word of life, and we embrace your word, and we embrace your Son Jesus, and we are so thankful for him and for your Holy Spirit. And we ask that folks listening today, with their lips, say that Jesus is Lord indeed, and in their hearts they know that you raised him from the dead. That comes from Romans chapter 10, I believe, and verse 9, I believe. And we love that scripture just from the standpoint if it just finds our way for salvation, proclaiming with our lips Jesus is Lord and knowing in our hearts that God raised him from the dead. Lord, bless these words again and bless our audience. So we will begin with Sarah Young after our prayer here. And on the May 31st, Sarah shares with us, "The peace that I give you transcends your intellect. When most of your mental energy goes into efforts to figure things out, you are unable to receive this glorious gift. I look into your mind and see thoughts spinning around and around, going nowhere, accomplishing nothing. All the while, my peace hovers over you, searching for a place to land. Be still in my presence, inviting me to control your thoughts. Let my light soak into your mind and heart until you are aglow with my very being. This is the most effective way to receive my peace." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you." And then Job chapter 22, verse 21 says, "Submit to God and be at peace with him. In this way, prosperity will come to you." Boy, that's a beautiful verse. I do not recall that one. That is so pretty. Well, I got a little rushed last week, if you could believe that or not. I was giddy with excitement to be with you all for the first time in quite some time. But last week we learned how to pray from Jesus when his disciples asked him, "Lord, how do we pray? Teach us to pray." Jesus said, "Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." And, of course, that is the foundation of our Lord's Prayer and words from Jesus Christ himself on how we should pray and pray each day. "Hallowed be your name, Father, for great is your name." We also began to see in the book of Luke and the previous chapters that the religious leaders started to kind of challenge Jesus, and he challenged them right back. Time and time again, he puts them in their place and replaces hypocrisy with love and kindness, as is demonstrated by his saving the old woman who had a very awkward posture, and many others that he saved throughout those chapters. I was not able to finish chapter 13, so we're going to pick it up from the very end of chapter 13, and we're going to get into 14, 15, and hopefully 16 today as well. We do have a couple of reflections along the way, and we have one of the very most famous stories in all the Bible in this reading today, and hope you will enjoy that as well. So we're going to pick up from chapter 13, verse 31. "At that time, some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, 'Leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you.' Jesus replied, 'Go tell that fox, I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal.' In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Chapter 14. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. There in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. Jesus asked the Pharisee and experts in the law, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. Then he said to them, If one of you has a son or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull him out? And they had nothing to say. When he noticed that the guest picked the places of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, Give this man your seat. Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he will say to you, Friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of all your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It is often said that God loves a humble man. A humble man doesn't mean they denigrate themselves. A humble man doesn't mean that you're not confident. A humble man simply means you put others before yourself at all times. And God loves a humble man. Quick reflection there. Verse 13, chapter 14. Then Jesus said to his host, When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. Jesus replied, A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, Come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me. Another said, I just bought five yoke of oxen and I am on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I cannot come. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, Go out quickly to the streets and alleys and towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, their servant said, What you ordered have been done, but there still is room. Then the master told his servant, Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house may be full. I tell you, not one of those men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. What a great visual that is. Here's God who wants everyone to come home to heaven. Everyone. And many simply will not. They're too busy. They're too busy to put him first. They're too busy to come and live and dine and enjoy God. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father or mother, his wife and children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his very own life, he cannot become my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. I have this as a reflection piece. This word that Jesus uses, hate, is not a word that we traditionally think of hate. Hate as being with your heart disliking someone, disdaining them. What he's trying to compare here, or trying to create a dramatic contrast to, is a thing that we've talked about last week and we talked about this week and every week, which is we have to know who is first, and who is first is God. And who is first is Jesus. And then everyone else comes second. And if we think everyone else is first and Jesus or God are second or third or down the line, we are completely wrong. So Jesus is making a point here, right? If we say, hey, my wife's more important than God, my kids are more important than God, hey, mom and dad are more important than God, we are wrong. We will not end up in heaven. We will not be part of the salvation group, right? So God, Jesus, in this very quick, very specific, very hard-hitting scripture, is not saying hate them. He's saying love me more, because that's what's important. That is the most important thing. We pick it up with verse 28. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build a building and was not able to finish. Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able to, with 10,000 men, to oppose the oncoming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask them for terms of peace. In the same way, anyone who does not give up everything he has not... In the same way, anyone of you who does not give up everything he has cannot become my disciple. Salt is good, but it loses its saltiness. How can it be made salty again? It is neither fit for the soil, nor for manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let them hear. Chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around him to hear. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go out for the lost sheep and find it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents over the 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the penance of the in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. You want to make God happy today? Repent. We are all sinners. There are people that live in sin, and there are people that just sin. We are all sinners. We all need a salvation. We all need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. Repent your sins, accept Jesus in your hearts, and make God very, very happy. Jesus continued with another parable, and this is the parable of the prodigal son. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of your estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after, the younger son got it all together, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him into the field to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to eat, and even to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will sit out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come home," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has come back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we have to celebrate and be glad because the brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is now found." That is my favorite story in the entire Bible. And it is for this very reason. In this, we really find three characters. We find the younger son, the older son, and the father. And I want you to reflect on this. I want you to reflect and ask yourself, which of the three are you? Are you the young rebel? Are you the obedient son? Or are you the forgiving father? If you're the young, wild, disobedient son, congratulations. You repented. You went home. You asked God you asked your father to forgive you, and he celebrated. For the older son, I feel a little sorry. And the reason, and listen, for many years I was that person that I thought I was doing everything right, but it's not just obedience God asks for, right? He wants us to have loving hearts, and we need to be able to forgive. And that older brother did not forgive his younger brother like the father did. Or are you the father who for years wondered about that younger son and for years appreciated the older son? And when the younger son came home, had just a forgiving heart, a loving heart, a kind heart, and a celebratory heart for that young man. Which are you? The young rebel? The older, disciplined child? Or the father? Chapter 16. Jesus told his disciples, "There was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot manage any longer.' The manager said to himself, 'What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. Then when I lose my job here, people will come to me and welcome me into their homes.' So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He first asked, 'How much do you owe my master?' 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, 'How much do you owe my master?' 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, 'Take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he was acting shrewdly, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property for your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your hearts. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linens and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the toe of his finger. Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from us to there. He answered, I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not come also into this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to them, If they did not listen to Moses and to the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Chapter 17. Jesus said to the disciples, Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin. So watch yourselves. If a brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive me. The apostles said to the Lord, Increase our faith. He replied, If you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, Be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Suppose one of you had a great servant plowing and looking after sheep. Would he not say to the servant when he comes in from the field, Come now and sit down and eat? Would he not rather say, Prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me, while I eat and drink. After that you may eat and drink. Would he thank the servant because he did what he was told to? So you, when you have done everything you were told to do, should you say, We are unworthy servants? We have only done our duty. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, who had seen he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, Rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Then he said to his disciples, the time is coming when you will no longer, when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. Men will tell you, there he is, or here he is. Do not go running off after them. For the Son of Man in his day will be like the lightning, which flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other. But first he must suffer many things and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And then the flood came and destroyed them all. It was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking and buying and selling, planting and building. But in the day Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. It will be just like this on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, no one is on the roof of the house. It will be just like that on the day the Son of God is revealed. On that day, no one who is on the roof of the house with his goods inside should go down and get them. Likewise, no one in the field should go back for anything. Remember Lot's wife? Whoever tries to keep his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, on the night two people will be in bed, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding grain together. One will be taken, the other left. Where, Lord, they said. He replied, where there is a dead body, there vultures will gather. Well, thank you very much for joining me today for some reading in Luke. We're coming towards the end of today's program, and I'd like to read a prayer for you and on you. And this prayer comes from Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. And the scripture reads, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And the prayer reads this, I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I will invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for the moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fist at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone, kind to the rich, for they are afraid, and kind to the unkind, for such is how God has treated me. Well, thank you for joining us today. We've run out of time. Please be sure to listen to us again next week. The content of this program is intended for the blind and print impaired audience. Please, we pray for you, your families, peace, and may God bless you and those you love this day and every day. God's peace.